The reading of God's Word on this fourth Sunday of Advent from the Gospel of John, the third chapter, the 16th verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. May God add His blessings to this, the reading of His Word. Well, by now, I would guess that you have finished all of your Christmas shopping. You have gone down the list and you have checked off every name. If for some reason your Christmas gift list is still incomplete, then let me remind you, you just have this afternoon and tomorrow. You'd better get on the ball. And if your list is incomplete, you have perhaps unwittingly made a statement, not just about those people who are still on your list. You've made a statement about yourself. And particularly how you relate to those people who are still on your list. Because is it not the case that the people about whom we care the most are the people that we think of first? And they are also the people for whom we are willing to go to any expense to show our affection. They are not in any way, shape, form, or fashion a part of what we might consider the under $25 crowd or the under $10 crowd. It's not just a matter of economics when it comes to those people for whom we care the most. It's also a matter of affection. It's a matter of devotion. It's a matter where we are willing to do whatever it takes to show our deep appreciation and love for the people we esteem most highly. And that desire to show our love for those who matter most to us is why I believe that of all the verses in the Bible, there is none we cherish more than John 3:16. I mean, you heard our children recite it. Because of how that verse, more than any other verse in the Bible, strikes a chord that we desperately need to hear. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He spared no expense, so that whosoever would place their faith in Him, would believe in Him, shall not perish but have everlasting life. You may think it strange that in this Christmas season, 2 days before Christmas, this most familiar, this most cherished verse in the Bible serves as our text on this fourth Sunday in Advent. We don't normally think of John 3:16 as a Christmas text, but perhaps we should, because of how this passage conveys to us God's desire to give us the gift that we most desperately need, not because of who we are, but in spite of who we are, because of who God is, and the fact that God is a God of love who cares so deeply for this world and everyone and everything in it, that God spared no expense in reaching out to reconcile us unto Himself. When you consider the context, the larger background of this most familiar passage of Scripture, you see how it speaks to us of what this season of the year is really all about. You know that John, the third chapter, is a chapter that describes an encounter between Jesus and one of the ruling council members of the Jewish faith, a man by the name of Nicodemus, who comes to Jesus by night because Nicodemus is concerned about what his colleagues might think if they got wind of him going to see this Galilean rabbi, this carpenter-turned-preacher. But Nicodemus is on a mission to discover the path to what every person desires the most, eternal life. And when Nicodemus asked Jesus how he might attain eternal life, he's thinking of merit. He's thinking of what he might accomplish. He's thinking of the good deeds he might do in order to secure this abundant life. And when Jesus responds in the context of a birth, which we experience as a gift, Jesus speaks to Nicodemus about the importance of being born again, but literally, the Greek language describes it as being born from above. Not anything that any of us could ever accomplish for ourselves, but something that God does for us out of God's unconditional, unmerited love. That's why Jesus says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, eternal life, abundant life, fulfilling life, meaningful life, purposeful life. It comes to us as a gift, which like any sort of gift, must be received and must be embraced in order for the gift to fulfill its purpose." I saw a statistic the other day that really struck me as being an indictment, for lack of a better word, on our prevailing culture. The statistic said that there are going to be, let's see, more gifts exchanged the day after Christmas than on Christmas Day. Now think about that for a moment. There will be more gifts exchanged on December the 26th than on December the 25th. Now it will be a different sort of exchange, but an exchange nonetheless. People will receive a gift on Christmas Day, and the gift that they receive doesn't fit or doesn't work or is a gift they really don't want. And so what will happen on December 26th with the gifts that don't fit or the gifts that don't work or the gifts that are not wanted, people will return to the store from which the gift was purchased in order to exchange it for something that fits or something that works or something they desire. You know what I'm talking about. You have been in those long lines on December 26. But the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that the gift that God gave out of the deep, deep love that God has for this world is something that fits perfectly. The gift that God gave in the Bethlehem baby is a gift that works. It's a gift that fulfills its function. It's a gift that leads to the possibility of our salvation. It's a gift that everyone earnestly yearns for. And when it is received, that gift of God's love in Jesus the Christ turns our lives in the direction that enables us to experience life in all of its fullness. If you've truly embraced Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord, you know about what I speak. And if there is in your soul still some sense of everything having this unfinished, incomplete sensation, then turning to Jesus and embracing Him out of God's love for you is the very best decision that you could ever make. Some years ago, I remember reading an interview that was done with the lead singer of the famous Irish rock band U2. Some of you will know exactly what I'm talking about when I say U2 and their lead singer, Bono. Others of you, no idea whatsoever. Happens to be one of my favorite groups, an Irish rock band, a Baptist preacher. Who would have thought it? But when you listen to their song, virtually every single one of them strikes some deep spiritual chord. That's not by coincidence. Bono is a believer. He is a confessing Christian. Faith matters to him. In the name of love, one man, in the name of love, how much more of the good news can anyone utter to a prevailing culture that would never darken the doors of this church to hear the first Noel than to hear that note? Praise God for what they're doing. In the interview, a secular magazine, Bono was asked about his Christian faith. And when did religion become the guiding force in his life? And he spoke very candidly and very frankly about that time in his life when his faith became something around which he ordered his entire being. As he explained it in the interview, it was a Christmas Eve service. A Christmas Eve service, much as we will have tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow evening. The band had just come from a lengthy tour and he was weary and he was exhausted. And like most rock groups, all of their music was in some way, shape, form, or fashion about love, but often an unrequited love. Love that's not returned. Love that goes unfulfilled. And he was just not at a good place in his life. And he began to think to himself, you know, if there is a logic of love in this world, if there is a force of love in this world, there would be some way in which that force of love would seek to explain itself in a way that everyone could understand. And as he was in attendance at the Christmas Eve service in his hometown of Dublin, in his home parish, he heard the simple story of a child born in poverty, a child born to an unwed mother, a child born placed in a corn crib manger, a story that was so raw and so preposterous on the surface that it could not be understood outside the context of love becoming concrete and becoming flesh. And it was at that moment, in that service of Christmas Eve worship, that one man became reacquainted with the power of love and the gift from above and how it changes every life who receives it and embraces it and is transformed by it. Yes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son is a message so pure, so simple that everyone can understand it, even our children. But it is also a message that is so powerful, what God did in coming down to be with us in the Bethlehem baby. It is a message that at the same time is so powerful that when you order your life around it, you become transformed by the power of God's love. And you begin to experience a quality of life that you've never known before. This morning, on this last Sunday before Christmas, have you chosen to believe in Jesus? Have you received the gift of God's love, the incarnation, the devotion, the affection that God shows to everyone who places his or her trust in Jesus? Have you ordered your life around the gift of Jesus so that your life has become complete? The message of Christmas is about God's love coming down to be with us and to change us for the better through the presence of the Bethlehem baby. You know, at this season of the year, children's musicals abound, and not just in the church, but there are Christmas musicals in the school. The only difference is that outside of the church, whenever children, particularly in our schools, are participating in some kind of Christmas production, they really have to call it something like Winter Festival, and they sing about snowmen and Santas. And I understand. I'm a Baptist. I get it. I understand. You let us into the schools, you have to let everybody else in the school. I understand that. That's why I think it's so important for parents to bring their children to the church, so that here at the church we can teach them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Quite frankly, I don't want anyone to bear the responsibility, as important as it is, of connecting children to God's love in Jesus Christ. That's our calling. We're ready to do it here at Mountain Brook Baptist Church. But the funny thing is about those winter festivals is that every now and then, God has a way of showing up where no one could have imagined God showing up, just like that holy night in Bethlehem, where God showed up in all of His glory and in all of His love. The children were singing a song titled Christmas Love, and it was one of these songs where each child comes out with a letter. One child is a C, one child is an H, one child is an R. And, you know, as they're singing the song, the child holds up his or her letter. I hold up a C, I hold up an H, I hold up an R. And they're going through the song and they're holding up their letters about Christmas love. And the child who was the M held her letter upside down, so that instead of an M, it was a W. And when she held her letter up, you know, everybody started giggling. Child had no idea what she had done. Her parents were mortified. You know how that goes. She turns the letter upside down. Instead of an M, it's a W. So that instead of spelling out Christmas love, C-H-R-I-S-T, W-A-S-L-O-V-E, what she spelled out at the winter festival was the real meaning of Christmas. Christ was love. Christ was love. For God so loved the world. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. On this Sunday before Christmas, not only was Christ love, Christ still is love. God's greatest expression of His love for this world, His love for you. You now know where you stand on God's list, along with the rest of the world. You know where you stand. God has spared no expense on your behalf. So why not open up the immense possibilities that are before you once you receive God's gift of love in Jesus Christ and experience life in all of its abundance now, and know life everlasting forevermore? For God so love the world. What more could God give?